Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Tuesday or Wednesday. Little Jimmy Buffett. There's a bad word coming, but we say hello now to our man John McClain joining us here on the program. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. I can't remember if I told you this last week after I went to Mobile to see Robert Brazil and the other baseball greats, and the baseball greats from Mobile's 9-foot statues. But Robert was really good friends with Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, wow.
They used to fish for hours at a time when Buffett was down there. In fact, when Robert went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, he sent me a picture of him giving Jimmy a Brazil Hall of Fame Oilers jersey, and how, of course, it just dwarfed him. But I was amazed. He said Jimmy came back down there where he spent a lot of his childhood when he wanted to have a little R&R, and he loved to fish.
Oh, that is a great story. John McClain, presented by Maple Street Biscuits, Wake Up to Wow. So, John, the Pittsburgh Steelers are trying to say wow. Obviously, we know they made the move for Aaron Rodgers, and now they made a trade to get Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith reunited with Arthur Smith. What do you think about the Steelers? Have they changed in your mind, or is it still kind of a, I don't know?
I think it's an I don't know. Because didn't they win 10 games last year and they didn't make the playoffs? And you don't see the Steelers doing what they're doing. And that's because they signed Rodgers. So they're trying to go all in. They play in a very tough division in which Baltimore and Cincinnati will be favored, and they'll be third, and then the Browns a distant fourth. All three can make the playoffs, of course. But it's going to be hard for them to be better than last season. And to me, if you're bringing in Ramsey and you get rid of Minka Fitzpatrick, you're kind of just shuffling one unhappy guy with another unhappy guy. The key is Jonnu Smith, not what he's going to do with the Steelers. What are the Dolphins going to do without him? He had 88 catches last year. Darren Waller coming out of retirement, he hadn't had a good season since 2020, which happens to be the last good season that Deshaun Watson had. So it's hard for guys to sit out and come back and be good. But I think Jonnu Smith being reunited with Arthur Smith was a great deal for Smith and the Steelers, and he'll catch a lot of balls because, you know, they trade. Pickens goes to the Cowboys. They don't have anybody take his place, and Metcalf's going to get doubled a lot. I bet you, John, he may not catch 88 passes, but bet you he catches at least 75.
Oh, I think that is a good prediction. The other thing, too, John, you just mentioned it. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in the AFC because there's going to be a couple of really good football teams that don't make the playoffs. You mentioned the North, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Browns, and then maybe you throw the Steelers into the mix as well, are all going to be in contention. I think the Bengals are going to be certainly back in it. And then in the West, the Chiefs, obviously, I would pay attention to the Broncos. I would definitely pay attention to the Chargers. And I might even pay attention to the Raiders. It's going to be tough to get a playoff spot in the AFC.
It is. And I think the Raiders are a year away. I mean, they play in such a tough division. And because Super Bowl losers don't do anything, traditionally haven't for decades, other than the Patriots one time when they lost and came back and won it, I'm wondering if this post-Super Bowl losing hangover will affect the Chiefs with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And with all those teams being good, and the best one that didn't make the playoffs last year was Cincinnati, and it wasn't because of their defense, it was because of another slow start. Then they missed the playoffs by one game. And there was no offense better than theirs, no passing game better than theirs, and they're trying to do something to overcome the slow starts, which affects Joe Burrow. It's not like he's throwing four touchdown passes and the defense has given up five touchdowns. He's gotten off to slow starts too. And I saw at one point he suggested, do they need to play more in preseason, the starters? So I'm really eager to see what Zach Taylor is going to do philosophically to try to help them avoid another slow start that puts them in a hole.
We're talking with John McClain, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. We'll have more with John coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. We're, of course, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday. Continuing our conversation with John McClain. Of course, he is presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW, Joe.
John, this T.J. Watt stuff, is it going to get resolved? Because, you know, I don't feel sorry for him. I mean, he signed a four-year, $112 million deal in 2021. Miles Garrett, though, resets the market. How's this going in for T.J. Watt? I do not see the Steelers trading him. But then again, in football, you never know.
He's not going to get traded. They will get it worked out. I predict they'll get that one worked out before Cincinnati gets its worked out with Trey Hendrickson. I think both will be done before the season starts. But Cincinnati has a history of financial issues with its players, and Pittsburgh does not.
You know, I was reading thing in the 90s, John. You know, the Bengals were in the same division with the Oilers and all that. And I read somewhere in the 90s, the Bengals had four scouts for like 4 or 5 years. And you wonder why that franchise was so terrible in the 90s. You just look at the front office and realize, how in the hell did they ever win one game? It's just mind-boggling to think that the Cincinnati Bengals only had a certain number of scouts to go out and recruit everybody.
Went to two Super Bowls. I remember the Oilers had four scouts. I was in the 80s and 90s, and they had to cover a big portion of the country. The Bengals had four because the Bengals were notoriously the cheapest team in the league because the Brown family, you know, they didn't own oil companies. They didn't have real estate fortunes. They relied on the team, just like the Rooneys did in Pittsburgh. And Mike Brown, who grew up as a personnel guy, he did a big part of the scouting as well, and then so did the head coaches. And it's hard to believe they went to Super Bowls, but they did it because they brought in a lot of great players.
Yeah, John, right now in the league, who has the best front office, do you think, from top to bottom?
Oh, right off the top, Joe, I would think a team that has shown considerable consistency with its coaching staff, its front office, is Baltimore. Baltimore wins a lot of games, gets a lot of first-round picks that are low. They know how to use compensatory picks. They make certain signings with the idea that if that guy's gone, we'll get a compensatory pick. And nobody has done better using the compensatory formula than the Ravens. And John Harbaugh's been there since 2006. Eric DaCosta was waiting in the wings. Right-hand man for Ozzie Newsome. That was a seamless transition. So it's hard to beat their front office because of its longevity.
In the same division is the worst front office located just a little bit north of Baltimore. I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland is just amazing. Some of the bad moves they've made. I saw a chart this week. I couldn't even read it. There were so many quarterbacks on there. I had to get off my cell phone and go to my laptop so I could enhance it to read it. How many quarterbacks they've had since they came back in 99? I believe it's 48. It's by far the most in the NFL. And now they have five on their roster. And even though Deshaun Watson won't play, he's in all the meetings. And Dylan Gabriel was talking about how much Watson has helped him, but that's going to be a spit show, as you guys know,
right?
As we all wait to see who's named the starter, when does he get benched. People like Joe Flacco's going to step right in. He was benched last year because he played horribly in Indy, and if he can't play in Indy and he got killed the last time he played in Cleveland by the Texans in the playoffs, I don't think he'll be the starter, and if he is, it won't be for long.
John, with news came out this week that the Haslam Sports Group, owner of the Browns, requested the state help build a new $2.4 billion dome stadium in suburban Cleveland. It sounds like that is going forward. It's just odd to me because that was what made Cleveland special. Cold, you're on the lake. To have a dome stadium up there, I guess now we're in the middle of an arms race, right, with all the NFL?
It looks like it, and those fans were so loyal. But also, they didn't sell out every game when they were bad. And I was in there sometime when the weather was so bad, you couldn't see the end of your car when you were driving. And I always felt sorry for the fans who would park downtown and then walk to the stadium to sit in that stadium. At the time, it seated 80,000. To watch them lose, but they've watched had a lot of great players come through those doors throughout their history. But, and it's funny, the city's raising all kind of cane, but where they're relocating to by the airport's only like 10 minutes from downtown. But the fact is, it's not in Cleveland city limits, and that's what the mayor's raising cane about.
Well, and the other thing too, John, is I feel like, you know, when I look at teams like the Titans are getting a new one, the Bills are getting a new one, the Broncos want a new one, the Chiefs want a new one, the Browns looks like they're going to get a new one, the Bengals want a new one. You mentioned Houston, they're either going to renovate or there's something going on there, right? I mean, there's all these teams that want new ones because they know if they build the dome, they're going to get a lot of different events that come with it.
And you get, if you build it, you get a Super Bowl. Nashville will get a Super Bowl. And then they want to get a Final Fours and all that. And because it's such a great city, they get a chance to get those events on a regular basis.
Yeah. And I mean, I didn't even mention the NFC. I think the Bears are trying to get a new one. The Commanders are getting a new one. I mean, there's just all these things. I mean, who's next? Baltimore? Like, right. Do they want a new one?
Right now, the AFC North is all outdoors, and it will take something away if they're not. But remember, the reason they want the new stadiums is so the owners can make more money. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, can I be honest though? Like, as I get older, I am less and less wanting to go sit out in 20-degree weather to watch football. So, I mean, I kind of get it that it's just like, all right, as cool as it may be, if they build dome stadiums in these colder cities, I kind of understand.
Oh, well, I understand perfectly. And people that complain about it, think about this. People who oppose a stadium that it has to do because, say, taxes, it has to do for whatever. You always see these economists say it doesn't benefit the economy like they claim it does. The bottom line is, when it opens, they're at the games like everybody else. How many people you see complain after a new stadium is built? No, they love it. Once it's done, it's done. And there's some of these, like Philadelphia wants a new one. And they're using the Super Bowls and Final Fours. And some of them are running into opposition, but they usually get done. And they usually attract events. I think Houston's hosted 2 or 3. Final Fours in NRG Stadium. It's a huge deal. And as more and more of these cities like Nashville build these indoor stadiums, it will help them attract those events as well.
John, why was a Super Bowl never played in the Astrodome? I know Super Bowl VIII was played at Rice Stadium down there in Houston, but why was a Super Bowl never played in the Astrodome, considered the eighth wonder of the world?
It was too small. You know, the NFL had a rule, 70,000 seats forever. They don't have it anymore. They just jacked up the ticket prices.
Right.
And but back then you had to have 70, and the Astrodome was a terrible surface. They would never have played a Super Bowl there with that surface being as bad as it was. Every team that came here filed a complaint before the game complaining about the surface, how bad it was because it was used by the rodeo and so many different people, and the fact it was too small, it never was even mentioned for the Super Bowl.
Unbelievable. But, you know, the good news was that Houston did end up hosting the greatest Super Bowl of all time, Super Bowl 51. The Patriots come back over Atlanta. So it all ended out pretty well for your city, John.
Yeah, we got two at NRG, and I don't think we'll get any more unless we build a new stadium, because there's so many other places they like to go in the rotation. But I tell you, once that building is done in Nashville and they start bringing in more events, people are going to go crazy because it's going to be so nice.
Yep, it's going to be fun for sure. John, have a happy and safe 4th. We appreciate it, and we, of course, will talk to you next week.
Chase and Joe, thank you guys very much, as always.
Absolutely. John McLean joining us here on the program, and, of course, he is presented by Maple Street Biscuit Company. Wake up to wow. Coming up next, are you ready?
I got it.
All right. Big Joe, we're going to do a little Dave Letterman with a top 10 list. This should be a lot of fun. We'll do that coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe. Also tonight, tune in is on 94.9 The Fan as the Nashville Sounds take on Memphis pregame at 6:20 in the first.
Sitting over there at First Horizon Park. I was down the road from me and Chet Atkins one time. I was sitting on the stream on the front porch.
That was good. Pregame at 5:50, first pitch at 6:05. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure as they take on Memphis.
I also was, I used to go to those games over Greer Stadium sometime. I would sit in the press box with my friend Richard Sturban from the Oak Ridge Boys. Man, Owls is a good town. All right, we'll see on that Manning Passing Academy down there. It's a Canes raising Canes.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.